Lars Larson here. Join me weeknights at 6 on Talk Radio 570 KBI.
Welcome back, everybody. It is 25 minutes to 6 o'clock in the morning. John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Boy, oh boy, are you ready for this one? According to the latest Associated Press poll, Americans are angry not just with the Republicans, but with the Democrats as well, pretty much taking a throw the bums out. The president's numbers are at a low point. Congress's numbers at a low point. Both parties' ratings at a low point. The NBC Wall Street Journal poll says 60% of Americans say fire everyone in Congress. 60% say fire everyone. More details in a moment. First of all, I want to go to my good friend Ralph Peters, Fox News military analyst, retired lieutenant colonel, and, of course, the author of many best-selling books, fiction and nonfiction alike, including the acclaimed Civil War novels Cain at Gettysburg and Hell or Richmond. Ralph Peters, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm fine. I think I'm in slightly better shape than the U.S. government.
Okay. I guess so. They're at about third world approval ratings right about now.
Yeah, well, you know, a friend of mine was just so exasperated. He said, Washington looks like a banana republic. And I pointed out to him that that's not fair to banana republics because they at least produce bananas. I mean, it's really shameful. I mean, I'm here outside of D.C. and
yes.
And as I've been saying for years, the power brokers in D.C., not only have no idea how working Americans live, they don't care. This is a, you know, there's no point in blaming Democrats or Republicans because they're both, the systems are on, both parties are so corrupt, so focused on power at all costs. You know, the idea that, oh, my party, my Republicans or my Democrats really care about the working people is just absolute nonsense. They don't care about the middle class. You know, the Republicans care about the super wealthy, and the Democrats care about their, you know, their political plantations, their electoral plantations, and the, you know, Romney was pilloried for saying that almost half of Americans are on some kind of handout program, but it was true. And so I look at both parties, and that's why I'm an independent. I can't find a home in the American political system, and I really think that most Americans feel that way. Most Americans. Really, you know, we might be conservative on one issue or liberal on another, and there's no place for us. And then you've got these clowns in Washington who, you know, my favorite congressmen are the ones I just love are the ones that talk about how I'm representing the people of my home state and I'm going to do what's right for them. And then as soon as they're out of office, do they go home to their
right.
home state? No, they stay in Washington and work as lobbyists.
How many times did we hear Bob Dole talk about Russell, Kansas?
Yeah.
And the minute he left office and lost his race for president in 96, I don't think he's been back to Russell since.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, they don't all stay inside the Beltway. Some of them go to Manhattan and make a lot of money.
Okay,
and, you know,
yes.
working for hedge funds and things. But it's just sad. I mean, and it's all about money now, and that's the problem. I mean, my friends that thought about running for office, and I was approached myself, and you look at it, and you spend 75% of your time begging for money from rich people or corporations.
Yeah.
That's not how our government's supposed to work. And I don't buy this nonsense about how, well, you know, corporations are people too, and they have a right to free speech, and so if they want to give you $100 billion so they can make $200 billion, that's fine, Mr. Candidate. No, it's not fine. Because when you allow corporations and the rich to dump money into political campaigns, it means that people like you and I, or blue-collar workers who can't afford to give millions of dollars to political campaigns, just get shut out. And, you know, the thing is, one thing I blame the Republicans for is villainizing the federal government. You know, federal employees are not villains. You've got to make a distinction between the administration, which is a temporary phenomenon, whether it's Bush or Obama, And the government in being, the government goes on and makes sure that we get basic services. That, you know, the national parks are open, Social Security checks run out, the food is safe.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are really not evil. But it's so easy for demagogues, political demagogues, government's the root of all evil. I mean, it's kind of to the point where, you know, our ancestors used to blame witches, you know, when the child got sick or blame the devil when the cow wouldn't give milk. And now when something goes wrong, you just automatically blame the federal government. I mean, that's the way people behave in the Middle East. You know, when something goes wrong with their plumbing, if they have any, they blame the great Satan America. And, you know, blame is not productive. Even if somebody is to blame, it's not productive to get mired in the blame game. My approach to life has always been work hard, you know, move forward. And our government right now, I mean, I'm ranting and raving this morning, but it's just outrageous to me that the people in Washington, our elected representatives, representing us.
This is good hearing Ralph Peters. It's therapeutic and getting it out of your system on domestic politics instead of just foreign policy.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at my situation. John, I live in Virginia. I don't know if you're aware of the governor's race here.
Oh, yes, with Cuccinelli and Terry McAuliffe.
Yeah, and it's just a really sad situation where Cuccinelli is so radically far right, and his running mate, guy running for lieutenant governor, absolute screaming nutcase. And then on the Democratic side, you have Terry McAuliffe, who is a liar and, you know, essentially a thief in the way he works.
It's what they used to call a scalawag.
Yeah, exactly, a scalawag and a scoundrel. And a carpetbagger, by the way. And so, you know, what kind of choice do we have? I mean, the parties, and the Republicans did it to themselves in Virginia, because instead of having the primaries, as they always did, they had a big caucus, basically, a convention, in which, you know, the radicals took over. And you know, our government, the people, you know, we all deserve something better. We don't deserve perfection. Perfection is the province of God. But we deserve a government that takes into account the kind of people that are listening to your radio shows. That, you know, that, and in Washington, I will tell
people
you...
People who pay attention.
Right. And John, in Washington, you know, it's if you do not make eight figures... You don't count.
I'll tell you a chilling statistic. You probably know it already, but it makes a point you were just making a few moments ago. The wealthiest zip code in America, the wealthiest county in America, is not Manhattan. It's not Beverly Hills.
No.
The wealthiest county in America is... right outside Washington, D.C.,
yeah,
Alexandria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alexandria, Fairfax, Loudoun County, Montgomery County. We have half of the wealthiest 10 counties
right.
in the United States, right around D.C.
In the D.C. metropolitan area. Something wrong there.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. I mean, because, you know, as I've been saying since the start of the downturn, people here don't feel it. I mean, you know, you see the luxury cars. You go to the grocery store anywhere in the D.C. suburbs, and you're not looking at old beaters. You know, we've even got Teslas here, and there's no charging station for them. it's just, you know, it's, and nothing wrong with Tesla. I think it's a great idea. I wish I could afford one. But truly, I mean, you know, now federal government employees who are not the wealthy people, they're starting to feel it now. But the lobbyists, the entrepreneurs, you know, who often do good work, the contractors who just suck the blood out of government, those people, I mean, you know, where you can see how the hit is right now with the federal furloughs. The middle class restaurants are half empty. The super luxury restaurants are still full.
Yes, you are so correct about that. I was talking to a friend just yesterday who got back from Washington, D.C., and this is true. He said they have extended happy hour in Washington, D.C. bars and restaurants from 2 hours or, you know, 2 hours in the late afternoon, 2 hours later at night, into 8 hour happy hours because no one has anything to do. They know they're going to get back pay. But they don't have to go to work because the government's officially shut down.
Yeah.
But
you can't blame the federal workers.
No. But what I'm saying is they have extended. This is on Capitol Hill now.
Yeah. Oh, no. Capitol Hill. Look, you know, by the way, one of my dreams back when was in the early days of Starbucks, I wanted to open a coffee house on Capitol Hill and call it Perks.
Good.
No, but it's really, and to be fair, there are some worthy senators and congressmen.
Yeah. Yeah, you talk about them from time to time.
Worthy senators and congressmen, but on the whole, the quality is so dumbed down. And I think really, John, it does go back to the money, because worthy people, people with interesting lives, people who've really done things, don't want to spend three-quarters of their time begging for donations. I mean, I don't. And here's another thing to think about. One problem we have with our open society, the Internet, and everybody digging to try to tear people down, I will tell you, the most creative people, the people with the most spunk and energy, the people that are really going to be the go-getters and the doers, do really dumb stuff when they're young, because they're experimenting with life. They're trying things out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not talking about crime, but look, you know, who among us, you know, the people that have pushed forward in life don't have some skeletons in their closet? I mean,
sure.
mine rattle at least once a day.
No, you are so right about how much more intrusive, personally intrusive, politics has gotten.
Yeah.
And that it's often a search and destroy mission.
It was almost always now, and that's a shame, because it means that people who might be great in government just don't want to go. They don't want to put their families through that crap.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I wanted to get your take on what just went down in Egypt, where we've talked about at length, you and I, for the KVI listeners, about how the elected government of Mohamed Morsi was intent on driving Egypt into a Sharia-style Iranian-modeled regime. The people didn't want it. They, by the millions, they took to the streets.
Million.
The military ousted the regime. They have outlawed the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the foundation for that drive toward Iran. And we have responded by defunding Egypt?
Yeah, it's really crazy. I mean, you know, I don't like military governments, but in the real world, it's not black or white. It's shades of gray, and there's more than 50 of them. And I'll tell you, there's a... for us, Americans, as far as our security and well-being goes, the military government in Egypt, which is trying to restore some semblance of a modified democracy, is a far better choice than the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, the Muslim Brotherhood, we're following the classic third world, you know, one man, one vote, one time, where once they got in power, they were trying to make sure they'd stay in power forever. And the people really wanted them gone. And, you know, and now, today, as we speak, the Egyptian military, however imperfect, are fighting our fight for us. They're fighting against Islamist extremism and the Obama administration, to pander to its pathetic campus base, cuts aid to the Egyptian military now. And, you know, here's how the Obama administration is thinking. They're thinking, well, we'll cut partial aid, we'll withhold for a time the F-16s and the M-1s and the parts of the things that are assembled in Egypt, and it won't really hurt the Egyptian military in the long run, but it'll show our base that we're serious about democracy and blah, blah, blah. But what they're not thinking, they never see it from the other guy's side. And what we're doing is sending a signal that the U.S. does not approve of the Egyptian military and the Egyptian people's actions against the Muslim Brotherhood. And therefore, the Muslim Brotherhood takes strength from that. Now, look, I do not think that President Obama is a Muslim. I think his only religion is Barack Obama. But he clearly has, because of his background in the Reverend Wright's Church and all the lefties, and
sure,
the only voices he heard for decades were lefty voices, he sees the Muslim Brotherhood as some sort of liberation organization fighting for the people. I mean, he really does. He has a soft spot for them. And again, because of his leftist basis, you know, the military is always bad. I mean, our military is bad, let alone the Egyptian military, in Obama's worldview. And so what we get is the government doing another truly, truly stupid thing in the Middle East. I mean, the Obama administration's actions in the Middle East are such a cavalcade of stunningly incompetent failures that if you try to screw up our policy in the Middle East, I mean, he makes, you know, Obama makes George W. Bush look like Henry Kissinger, Metternich, and Otto von Bismarck combined.
Yeah, I don't see how this has a happy ending. I don't know what the end game is for us stopping Egypt from getting rid and dismantling, to a great extent, the Muslim Brotherhood. That's something we should want to happen.
Right. And the other thing we're doing is making decent Egyptians furious at us. We're setting ourselves up in the Egyptian perception, the man on the street in Egypt. It looks like we're throwing our weight behind the Muslim Brotherhood, who the man on the street wants gone. And so instead of helping anybody, all we're doing is making ourselves hated, and it appears that we're supporting the Muslim Brotherhood. And oh, by the way, this is the administration that has been looking, you know, seriously about belatedly helping the Syrian rebels, as you and I have discussed, who are now dominated by al-Qaeda. There was just the Syrian insurgents. Now there's just another massacre of at least 190 people in a village, in an Alawite village, by the group that's representing al-Qaeda in Syria. I mean, look, again, the Middle East is such a mess. You're not going to find the shining Galahad. There's not going to be a perfect hero, and there's not going to be a team that's unblemished. But we need to look throughout the Middle East at what are our interests. Our interests are in defeating Islamist fanaticism. It's not a war against Islam, but fanatical Islam is at war against us. And we have to recognize that we have one priority throughout the entire Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
The top priority isn't even the establishment of democracy, although that's nice. The top priority is keeping America safe, and that means killing Islamist fundamentalists, not helping them.
All right. Ralph Peters, always great having you here. Thanks again for making the time this Friday, okay?
My pleasure, John.
You got it. That's Ralph Peters, author of Hell or Richmond.